Welcome to Celebrity Grill, the best, most comprehensive, fastest growing podcast of American backyard grilling on iTunes worldwide, where we cook because we have to and we grill because we want to. Learn from the big dogs, Daniel Domofsky, Diva Q, Derek Riches, BBQ.about.com, Kevin Roberts, Frank's Red Hot and Vlasic Pickles, Clint Cantwell, Smokin' to Eye Barbecue, Scott Roberts, ScottRobertsWeb.com, Jared Hatcher and Chad Ward, Whiskey Bent Barbecue, and I'm your host, JM, broadcasting from the great state of Florida. Yes, sir, this is JM, your host, and this is episode 10 of CGP, where we cook because we have to, and we grill because we wanna. Thanks for listening in. You want to connect with the show? Our email is celebritygrill@aol.com. Website address is celebritygrill.wordpress.com. A ton of info there. All the social networks, at least the major ones that most people are on, Twitter, Facebook, Flickr, those. You can go ahead and connect with me by that way. Also, as I mentioned last week on the episode 9, the Q&A, there is an official Q&A on Facebook. I've already got a few comments from some people out there, some of the fans of the show, Pat Smith and Clint Jolly. They call Clint Jolly the butcher boy out west, and the guy owns a deli out there that just kicks rear, man. This guy knows exactly what he's doing. So he's put comments on there that I gotta be honest with you, they've made me think. So if you think you know how to answer the question and answer of the week, go to the Facebook fan page, put your opinion on there. Chances are 90% of the listening audience has an opinion that would stack up, because it's a very common question out there, but it's always fun to hear the answer. So you got to go to the fan page to check it out. Today's guest interview is none other than Mr. Scott Roberts of ScottRobertsWeb.com, and he goes through all kinds of stuff. And you may have heard him from Hot Sauce Weekly, which is a podcast dedicated to fiery foods and hot sauces and stuff like that. He does the review there. Scott Roberts has a blog. Anyway, you know, we go through, you know, his intro is gone through later. But just listen very closely to some of the things that he shares. I want to apologize in advance. Any type of sound quality loss is completely my fault, not his. I hope that doesn't get in the way of the excellent content on the interview. As these episodes continue to go on down the road, I'm continuing to upgrade equipment and things like that. I appreciate those of you who understand. I'm just an average dude like you who's just passionate about grilling. And I wasn't, when I started this thing, I wasn't born with all the awesome fancy equipment that was probably necessary, but you know what, you're hanging in there anyway, and we're having a blast. So anyway, this interview with Scott Roberts is a lot of fun, so sit back, relax, and take it all in. Hello, Scott Roberts, JM from the Celebrity Grill Podcast. How are you?
Doing great. How you doing, JM?
I'm doing fantastic, man. How are things there up north?
Oh, it's just snowing a lot. Bitterly, bitterly cold.
Jeez,
not really the best grilling weather, I can tell you that.
Scott, we're keeping you guys in our thoughts, man, because apparently it's pretty bad all over the north part of the country, man. We certainly wish you the best during these cold times.
Well, thanks. As long as I can make it out on the road, then I'm fine.
Cool. Well, listeners, if you're not familiar with Scott Roberts, you will be by the end of this podcast and this interview. A little bit about Scott is that he is a longtime chili head. He's a hot sauce fanatic, wing eater, spicy food lover, and foodie in general. He's got a blog called ScottRobertsWeb.com that we'll hear a little bit more about, where they talk about everything from hot sauce reviews to barbecue sauces, salsas, all kinds of stuff. I'll let him get into that. He's a contributor on PeppersAndMore.com. He does audio reviews on the Hot Sauce Weekly podcast. He owns a Cafe Press t-shirt shop featuring chili pepper shirts at ChiliHeadTees.com. And he's doing some website development and graphic design with CaptainJalokia.com. And he also, gosh, after that laundry list, he probably hung the moon and as the first one to visit Mars. Scott, is there anything you don't do?
I don't know. It's like once I see a project I want to do, I just kind of go for it.
Man.
And it's really bad when people ask me to do stuff. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah. I'm glad to do it.
Uh-oh, you're going to make me feel bad for asking you to come on then now, huh?
No, no.
It's certainly...
No, I'm glad to be doing this.
Yeah, well, it's a privilege to have you on. I know you're very busy. I know you got a lot to do. And if you don't mind expanding on that introduction, our listeners will definitely love to know a little bit more about you and about what you know about backyard grilling, and then we'll get into it.
Okay, well, like you said, my main site is scottrobertsweb.com. It kind of started out as just a general topic blog. I really didn't get into focusing on like hot sauces and chili peppers and things like that until probably about 2 years ago. It's something I've eaten all my life, hot, spicy foods, barbecue and all that. But I guess that part of it just kind of caught up with me. And my knowledge about like that, I like to share. I like to tell people about hot sauces, what I like, what I don't like to eat, things like that. And like I said, I like to take on many projects. I've been a web developer for a long time. I like to help other chili heads with their blogs as well. I guess my Achilles heel is, you know, if someone asks me to do something for them, I really want to help out. I want this whole community, this whole foodie community as a whole, just to expand and become huge.
Terrific, terrific. So you got a lot of different projects you're working on. How do you make time for them all?
I really don't. It's just a big juggling act, really.
Yeah? All right, well, we'll make the best of the time we've got with you now.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Now, you know this podcast is all about the how-to of American backyard grilling, and, you know, I was telling an interviewer earlier today, I'm like, you know, we could swap recipes and talk like that the whole time, but I think there's enough cookbooks out there with enough recipes where anybody can go and pick it up, and that's not what this is about. One of the reasons I started this podcast, Scott, was because I wanted to know what everybody else was grilling. I mean, when I would walk my dog or I would be outside and I would smell the charcoal, I would smell the wood. I mean, I just feel better, you know, mm-hmm. And I would wonder, what are they doing and can I do it or would I do it as good or better or whatever? And, you know, whether you're a high stakes celebrity or whether you're someone like me, average Joe, man, I just want to know what everybody else is grilling. And I have a feeling a lot of other people do, too. So I understand one of the types of steaks you like to grill are pork steaks.
That's right. It's probably a big St. Louis thing, as far as I know.
Expand on that a little bit.
Okay. It's actually from a pork shoulder blade cut from that. It's, I'd say, a little larger than a pork chop, if you're not familiar with it. Right. It's like the right balance between chewiness and tenderness, but it's just an all-around good meaty steak. A little bit fat in it to allow it to be juicy. But just pretty much a St. Louis Midwest tradition.
Really? So, I mean, you don't hear a lot about that down here in Tampa, Florida. I'm sure they're around. But, I mean, we got pork chops, pork loins, ribs. Other than that, there's not many other options when it comes to pork. Of course, other than the large roasts. So, that's pretty interesting. Is it prepared any differently than a pork chop on the grill?
It's about the same. Oh, okay. You basically just season it however you want to. I might put a little bit of olive oil on both sides and just slap it on the grill. That's about it.
Okay. When you prepare the fire, I'm huge on temperature control. When you prepare the fire, assuming you cook over charcoal or gas?
I do cook over charcoal.
Oh, that's my man. Okay. So when you set up the coals, for some reason, even an experienced griller after years and years sometimes still gets the coals wrong. And whether it's on purpose or not, whatever. How do you set up the charcoal to grill your pork steaks?
Basically put them to one side, perhaps even two-thirds, filling a lining or lining the bottom of it. And I pretty much just put a little bit of lighter fluid in there, as much as people really hate that. They say, Scott, why don't you use, you know, chimney starter? But I do that, you know, let all that burn off. And then I will usually put the pork steaks or whatever else I'm grilling. I grill all kinds of things, too. I put that over the indirect heat part.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
To start with?
Usually, yeah.
So you have all the coals to one side, whether it's two layers deep or one layer deep. I don't know many people who start a steak on the indirect side. Why do you do that?
Sometimes I'll throw a few wood chips in there, you know, get a little bit of smoke going.
Uh-huh.
And I might only do that for about a half hour or so. After that, I kind of scoot it over a little bit more towards the heat. And of course, I, you know, have a separate smoker. And, you know, I do that probably how normal people smoke food. But as far as grilling, I do like to get a little bit of smoke in there, too.
So you're telling me you take a pork cut that looks just like a steak and the same size as like a New York strip steak or a ribeye. And
similar to it, yeah.
Okay, it's pretty similar to it. And you smoke it. You have it, obviously, when normal grilling is like 10 minutes or so, you know, of direct high heat, but you're not doing it normal style. You're really letting that smoke get in there. I mean, how does it turn out when you're done?
It's not as smoky as regular smoked food would be, but it does have a little bit of that taste that I like.
Okay.
Of course, it's like the best of both worlds. If you want something done relatively quickly, I could probably do it, you know, in 45 minutes and mm-hmm. have a nice pork steak on the table.
Now, pork chops are notorious for getting dry on the grill and baking mm-hmm. or whatever. They're notorious for that. Are pork steaks the same way?
They're a little thicker. They don't get as dry. Right. I, like I said, sometimes I put a little bit of olive oil right. on there. Maybe the last 5 or so minutes of the grilling time, I'll slap a little bit of barbecue sauce on each time. You know, have a little bit of moisture.
Yeah.
But it usually doesn't come out too dry.
Wow, that sounds delicious. And I understand you're not too bad doing the chicken on the grill either.
No, of course, chicken is pretty hard to do, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I prefer to really smoke that.
Okay. Now, is it whole pieces or not whole pieces? Listen to me. Is it chicken pieces and parts, or is it the whole chicken?
Usually just the pieces.
Oh, okay. Walk us through that. How do you set things up? I mean, do you use a rack to stand them up, or what?
Lay them right on the grill.
Okay. Now, do you set them over the high heat fire at first, or do you save that for the end?
I usually save that for the end to get a nice little bit of crust on the outside.
All right, so basically you've got a two-zone fire. You've got half of the grill with all the coals there, evenly distributed. And then you've got the other side of the grill that doesn't have any coals on it, and you start the chicken over on the indirect side with no coals.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Do you brine it? Do you put anything on it ahead of time, spices, salt?
I like to experiment with rubs, and I'll put that on there. It could be anywhere from an hour beforehand to overnight.
All right.
And I happen to think that that's probably one of the most underutilized things is putting a spice rub on meats.
Does your chicken, when you're done grilling it, I mean, it's not too difficult to get decent moist chicken, especially if it's dark, the dark meat. Mm-hmm. But I still end up sometimes with rubbery skin when I'm trying to grill the chicken. How do you get past that? How do you get over that and get crispy skin, moist chicken?
Towards the end of the grilling process, I will put some barbecue sauce on there, usually. Put it over the high direct heat. Do it maybe 5-10 minutes on each side. Well, I'm sorry, about 5 minutes on each side.
Mm-hmm.
That usually will crispen enough for me.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, I know with at Scott Roberts Web and your contributions to Hot Sauce Weekly with the hot sauce reviews, I gotta ask, what role does hot sauce play in grilling for you?
I like to roast chili peppers on the grill. Since I'm basically the only chili head in my household, I really don't do a whole lot as far as hot sauces or peppers. You know, for my wife and kids, they like the mild stuff. For stuff I cook for myself, I like to add a lot of crushed chili peppers to my rubs, you know, a lot of paprika. I used to grow my own chili peppers. Oh. I dried a lot of that, habaneros, buchalocas, and I would dry that out, crush that up, mix it up with my rubs, and put a little bit of that on there.
Wow, so you grow your own and you do it natural.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good stuff.
Of course, this last year I didn't grow anything myself, so I had to get stuff from other people.
Yeah. So I understand that hot sauce, for the most part, shouldn't play a role in the grilling process while the food is actually, like, the sauce shouldn't have a role while the food is on the grill, just because it just doesn't do well over the fire for whatever reason. But do you find that to be true as well?
Most of the time, yeah. Okay. I'll experiment with a marinade every now and then. I'll add something pretty hot and spicy to it. But yeah, most of the time, I don't do it on the grill. I do everything after it comes off the grill or during the last few minutes of the cooking process.
Are there certain hot sauces that it sounds like wine and cheese here, but that pair better with grilled food and some that are just nasty with grilled food? Each person has their own taste?
For the most part, each person has their own taste. If you're grilling fish, I found that the real harsh, vinegary hot sauces are pretty bad for it. Mm. I like things that are real fruity. There's all kinds of mango-based hot sauces that are just terrific.
Yeah.
If you're grilling some salmon or shrimp, I like to do that. Now, as far as beef steaks, chicken, pork, it really varies.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know, because, I got a few hot sauces, certainly probably not as many as you, and they're certainly not as hot as probably the ones you've got, but I always wonder, I wonder how this would char on there, and so I had to ask before I ruined perfectly good cuts of meat.
I would say probably the only rule of thumb, fish, stay away from the really harsh, bitter stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so basically a lighter hot sauce for a lighter cut of fish, which is really most fish.
Yeah.
All right. That's pretty. You know what? That's
thinking, you know.
Scott, that's the same when it comes to choosing the type of wood that you're going to add smoke flavor with. You certainly don't want a very pungent, strong wood with a light fish like tilapia or something like that, or any kind of any kind of white fish, because you're going to overpower it.
Yeah.
Wow. Good stuff. All right. Hot dogs. Are you a fan of doing hot dogs on the grill?
I have to, yeah. My kids love them.
Oh, yeah.
it's pretty basic. Just throw them on a grill, wait, till they blister up, get a little dark on each side.
Yeah.
Roll them over every now and then. Really not much to it.
Do you do anything different than the norm when it comes to hot dogs?
I'd say no.
No? One time I was just experimenting, and I don't know why, but one time I pushed all the coals all the way to one side of the grill. I put some wood chips and chunks on there, whatever, and I opened up a 8-pack of hot dogs and put them on the complete other side. And I know this sounds silly, but I smoked the hot dogs. I mean, that was overkill for these things.
That might actually be good.
It was. And I turned the vent, the lid of the grill, so the vents was over the hot dogs, so the smoke would have to travel that way. And I gotta tell you, the color that it changed these hot dogs was so appetizing. It was a far cry from the charred blackness that people are usually used to. The skin was crispy like people like. And I got to say, man, if you haven't done that, give it a shot. I think you'll surprise yourself. And it sounds silly, but yeah, smoked hot dogs. It's the craziest thing.
That sounds good. I'm going to have to try that.
Oh, man. It's something I did. Quarter pound hot dogs. I think I put out on Twitter the other night. Those things, they didn't stand a chance. Oh, it was delicious. All right. Now, burgers. Come on, Scott. You got to talk to us about your burgers. How do you do them over there?
Okay. I will usually some fresh ground beef. I'll mix in some seasoning and actually mush around my fingers. Sometimes I'll add things like onions, maybe even an egg yolk. And
really?
Make like mini meatloaf burgers out of it.
Why would you add an egg yolk?
It just adds a special little taste. I don't know. I really, really love meatloaf. I got started on meatloaf sandwiches a long time ago, and it just, I don't know, I've been hooked ever since. I mean, I don't always cook burgers like that on the grill, but right. Every once in a while, I just have to have one of those. Now, as far as the spice blend I put in there, I'll put in like garlic, cumin, paprika, a little bit of brown sugar. And it's really odd, but it tastes really, really good, I think.
You mentioned the fresh ground beef, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you're not a fan of getting a box of frozen doorstops.
No.
Okay. Now, the ground beef you do get, is it 80-20, 85-15?
Usually 80-20. I'm not a real stickler on, you know, getting things that are extremely low fat. I'm not that picky.
Okay. All right.
I do like a little bit of fat content in there, make it nice and juicy.
Yeah, and for those of you who aren't familiar, 80-20 means 80% of what's in that package is actual meat, and then 20% is fat, and that's that 20% that drips out and makes a sizzle sound. You know, that's the that's why the burger gets smaller. So you gotta, like you're talking about, Scott, you know, you don't really pay too much attention to it, but you gotta keep it in mind a little bit, you know, because you certainly don't want a burger the size of, you know, I don't know, you don't want one the size of a slider.
Yeah, exactly. When I go to put them on a grill, for the ones I make for myself, I'll put some crushed red pepper on it, maybe some other pepper, black pepper, chili peppers, and that. When it's close to being done, I'll put like a little pat of butter on each side of the burgers, let it melt down, get into the meat.
So you find that the butter you put on it, it actually goes into the meat?
Some of it does, some drips off.
Yeah.
But I think it's enough to make it nice and juicy.
Oh, okay. All right. You said you also cut up onions and put them in there. Now, when you cut them up and mix it right into the burger, you don't lay them on top. Well, you do sometimes, but when you cut them up and mix them in, how fine should we cut the onions?
Extremely fine.
Okay.
And not to where they're big chunks that you can just like pull right out of there. I would say as small and tiny as the individual shreds of the ground beef itself.
Wow. Okay. And the reason for that, I think I know where you're going with this, is that you don't want to, if the chunks are too big, the ground beef doesn't exactly stick to it. So it's basically creating weak parts in the patty and it might fall apart.
That's right.
Yeah. It only takes once to figure that out. Do you ever add cheese in your burgers, in the burger?
In the burger, I've experimented with that. I'm not a big fan of that. I prefer just to put it on afterwards.
Really?
I found it just creates a little bit of mess. Some way or another, a little hole will form. It'll drip out, burn in the grill.
Yeah.
So I usually don't mess with that.
Okay. All right. And do you do vegetables on the grill?
Some I do.
Yeah?
Like I said, I roast the chili peppers on there.
Okay.
What I would do is just put it over indirect heat for about 10 minutes per side.
Okay.
Take them off, maybe put them in a Tupperware container for about 20 minutes. Sometimes I'll just put them on a plate, put some saran wrap over them, and it'll actually steam up for a little while.
Right.
After that, you know, take the lid off the Tupperware container. You can peel the skins right off the potatoes, or not potatoes, the chili peppers.
Yeah.
And you have perfect things to have on the side of your meat or put right on there.
Why,
like, both ways?
Why would you want to take the skin off? I mean, is it not okay to eat?
Sometimes it's a little crunchy, you might get a little burned. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of blackness on there. I kind of like that flavor myself. But what I really want to do is get that chili pepper, the meat in there, the fruit, where it's nice and juicy and has a nice grilled flavor to it.
Okay. When it comes to those peppers, what are you said chili pepper. Now, I know I'm talking to Scott Roberts, so there's got to be your favorite, like, top five peppers for the grill or something like that that just really work well on there. Which ones are they?
Okay. When I refer to that, it's some of the bigger ones. Okay. The poblano peppers, the Anaheim, New Mexican peppers, jalapenos. Those will be the bigger ones that have less heat to them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the ones like the habaneros and the hotter ones, they tend not to do so well. You can't have them on the grill for too long since they're so thin, so tiny. But the bigger ones, the more mild ones, will do a lot better on the grill that I found.
You've done corn on the grill as well.
Yeah, pretty simple. I wrap the corn in aluminum foil. I'll put a little bit of butter, a little bit of garlic powder in there, some parsley, and after about a half hour, they're good to go.
So when you grill the corn, you say you wrap it in foil. Do you wrap it tightly or loosely?
Very tightly.
Very tight. Is it in the husk or out of the husk?
It's out of the husk.
Okay, so you just take the leaves off, the silk off, and even that little part at the bottom underneath the cob.
That's right.
Oh, okay. Just butter, or do you put anything else?
Like I said, a little bit of garlic powder.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, in there. That's right. Now, how long did you say you put it on there?
About a half hour or so.
Half hour. Do you need to turn it?
I do. I don't think that it really matters in the long run. I just do that. Just in my head, I think, well, the butter needs to coat all the sides, so yeah. I do that anyway.
So if it's on there for about a half hour, and the butter's in that foil, it's going to be roasting / steaming in there, and the steam is going to be coming from that butter and the moisture within the corn. And I assume you put it over indirect heat?
That's right. Oh, the upper rack.
Oh, that's got to be delicious, man. Half an hour in that smoke? Are you serious? Oh.
Oh, phenomenal.
Man, that is... I'm getting hungry. I need to come over. Oh, my gosh. That's ridiculous.
You're invited. Of course, when the weather warms up.
Oh, I know, right? Okay, let's finish up by talking about steaks. Now, as far as beef steaks go, what is your... what's your favorite cut of steak to do on the grill?
Probably a flank steak.
Oh, a flank steak?
It's just easiest to work with, in my opinion.
Now, that's not quite the skirt steak, which is technically, if I'm not mistaken, the lower part of a flank steak. But the flank steak, I've seen that before. Talk, if you don't mind, look at me, I'm all over myself here. If you don't mind, describe what a flank steak is, because it's one of the lesser known steaks.
It's pretty much, the cuts I get are pretty thin. I think it has a nice texture and flavor to it. It's not too fatty. It's tender enough, but still has a little bit of chewiness.
Now, there's no bones in it.
No.
And no cartilage. Right?
No. And for kids, you know, it's perfect. Okay. Put it on their plate. They could, you know, basically cut it up themselves. And yeah. There you go.
It's got a pretty strong grain to it as well, and it needs to be cut across the grain to make it more tender?
Usually, yeah.
Usually? Okay. How do you prepare the flank steak? I'm interested, because I don't do a lot. I do skirt steak, but I don't do a lot of flank steak.
Yeah. Pretty much like the pork steaks, put a little bit of olive oil on each side, sprinkle some seasoning on there. With these, maybe something with a little bit more kick because of the different kind of flavor that beef has over pork. You know, I might put a little bit of paprika, some black pepper on there, mm-hmm. and just put over direct heat, 5 minutes per side. And I prefer my steaks medium well, so I'll move them over to the other side for a while and
right.
just cook it and do the forearm test.
Yeah, you know, that's something a lot of people, I think, don't do with their steaks and why they go wrong is because some people just prefer medium well. And even well done, there's a few out there, well done. I'm more of a medium, you know, middle of the road person, but if you want a medium well, geez, you gotta have it over indirect heat for a little bit, otherwise you're just going to burn the outside.
That's right. And me, I don't like to cut in the steak, you know, to see if it's done enough or not.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll do what, you know, a lot of people know as the forearm test.
Hey, go ahead and break that down. Explain that if you don't mind for the listeners.
Okay. Well, if you want to know how done or a steak would be, just stick out your arm, your hand, your palm facing up. Okay. Then kind of press right at the crook of your elbow. You can kind of feel your skin there is pretty soft. Now, that's what a rare steak would feel like if you'd actually press down on it. Move up towards your hand a little bit, maybe midway. That would be medium. Move up maybe another inch. That would be medium well. Then all the way towards your wrist, where it's really hard to push and give way, that would be the consistency of a well-done steak. I mean, it's really hard. There's hardly any softness at all in the middle. But that's a pretty good gauge of seeing how well steaks are done.
I love it. You're giving us something we can use. That's good stuff. What hot sauce do you prefer on your grill, on your steaks? Come on now.
Oh, I like all kinds. I like some of the Ring of Fire sauces.
Yeah.
Made by Mike and Diane's Gourmet Kitchen. They're pretty good. some of the Blair's death sauces.
Blair's death, huh? Jeez.
Some of the milder ones, of course.
Oh, right. Yeah. Blair's death. That I don't even want to know what the hotter version of that is.
Yeah, is it the hotter ones are basically ones you eat a drop or two of, and that's about it.
Ooh, man. How about this? I notice a lot of the hot sauces you review on Hot Sauce Weekly, they're very specific. They seem like when I go through the grocery stores here in Florida, where most people go, and I'm not speaking for everybody, but you know, I don't always get to go to those specialty shops and stuff. From the mass marketed ones on the shelves, what do you find are good sauces for grilled food that are mass marketed that, you know, are convenient to get?
Mass marketed, I would probably stay away from a lot of the Louisiana-style hot sauces.
Oh.
And, of course, if people don't know what those are your Tabascos, Crystal, Louisiana, the Frank's Red Hot.
Are you serious? That's all. That's all I see there.
Yeah, yeah.
Why would we want to? I gotta know. Come on now. I gotta know. We're gonna extend this a little bit.
To me, they're a little too thin, a little too runny, too vinegary, to really properly apply to food. Now, I like hot sauces with a lot more body to it, a lot more flavor. And I feel that those Louisiana-style hot sauces are just mostly vinegar. They have a little salt taste to it, and the peppers are just buried way down in a flavor. Now, there's nothing wrong with those. They have their usage. They have their purpose. But you want something just with a little bit more body to it, a little bit more complexity.
You know,
now,
go ahead.
As far as mass marketed ones, it's really hard to find a really good hot sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's really coming to mind. Go online and see what kind of steak sauces out there, maybe some spicy barbecue sauces.
Yeah. My goodness. You know, I didn't even think twice, you know, because I've gotten each of those, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I'm thinking another one, Texas Pete, comes to mind, you know, and I think of those, and I'm like, well, I guess it's okay. I guess because I don't know what else is out there.
Yeah, yeah.
So you'd probably recommend people go ahead and if they can, if there's a specialty shop nearby or online, that it would be worth it to them to try something new.
I definitely think it would be. Like the ones I mentioned, the Ring of Fire hot sauces, the Blair's Death, some of the milder ones, of course. They have a lot more thickness to them. They have complexity, different kinds of peppers are used in them. They have garlic. And just, they have an all-around better taste, and they're better with grilled meats, in my opinion.
Well, Scott Roberts, we covered a lot of ground, and you know, in a pinch, we're half an hour in, and of course, you know, we could keep going, but for sake of time, I certainly want to respect your time, and thank you so much for coming on the Celebrity Grill Podcast. I want to ask you though, how can somebody get more information to get in touch with you or with the projects you're working on?
Simply go to scottrobertsweb.com. There's a contact page. They want to get a hold of me. They want to follow me on Twitter, Facebook. My links are there. As far as a lot of the projects I'm involved with, I will write about them in blog posts. And like you said before, I'm involved with Peppers and More, the Hot Sauce Weekly podcast. And there are a few other things coming up in the future, too. There's a video project that's in the works with another site.
Mm-hmm.
And even there's another one. I guess more barbecue oriented. I don't want to mention anything about it yet.
Right.
It's something that's coming up within the next month or so.
Right. Are you going to leave it hanging, huh? You're going to write a book and leave the last chapter out, make it a mystery, huh?
I guess it's done, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, hey, listen, you killed the interview today. It was great. It was just fantastic. And is there anything that I or the Celebrity Grill Podcast can do for you?
Just keep spreading the word.
Yeah.
Spreading the truth. I mean, we foodies have to stick together, and that's about it.
Yeah, man.
Well, no, I appreciate you having me on here. It's been fun.
Hey, you bet. It's been fun for me, too. You take care, and thanks again.
Okay, you too.
All right, bye.
Well, that wraps up our interview for Episode 10 with Scott Roberts of scottrobertsweb.com, and clearly, Scott knows his way around a grill. He knows how to tame the flame. You want more information about Scott Roberts, you can visit his website at scottrobertsweb.com. All his info's on there. I follow him on Twitter. Do a search for Scott Roberts. He's on there posting almost every day. And he's got reviews from sauces and hot sauces and stuff like that from his blog. All kinds of stuff on there that, you know, if you're interested in this, the content of this show, chances are you're going to be interested in the content of his website as well. Next week, we're going to have grilling guru Derek Riches of BBQ.about.com on the Celebrity Grill podcast, sharing what he knows about all kinds of topics. I mean, he covers it all. You certainly don't want to miss it. You know somebody who likes to grill, tell them about this podcast. Have them listen in, and I think they're going to enjoy it just like you've enjoyed it so far. You want to contact the show? Email address again is celebritygrill@aol.com. You want to say if you something you like or something you don't, put it on there. I read every one of them. You want any other information about this podcast? You can find it at celebritygrill.wordpress.com.